Okay, so Sammy asked about the Tosfos and Sukkah and Daf Mevo, which I think I told you to look at it anyway, so that was just not a coincidence. But on Daf Mevo and Sukkah, so there is a Gemara which is important, talking about the whole concept of Dinim Darabanan, which we spent obviously a lot of time talking about. So the Gemara which appears in Masechet Shabbos in the second parak, talking about the source for Dinim Darabanan, appears to some extent here as well in Masechet Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav, where the Gemara tells us about Lo Sasur being, at least according to one opinion, the source for Mitzvah Darabanan. And in introducing that topic, what leads into that sentence is the following sentence. The Gemara says that it's from the middle of Mem Vav Mem Aleph. If you light Chanukah candles, guess what? You got to make a bracha. If somebody even sees Ner Chanukah, he has to make a bracha. So my mevarich, what does he say? Amar Rav Yehuda, Yom Rishon Hamadik mevarich shalosh. Rav Yehuda says on the first day, the Madik makes three brachos. Haroa mevarich shtayim. The one who sees it makes two brachos. Mikan ve'elech, Madik mevarich shtayim, Haroa mevarich achas. So after the first day, the one who's making who's actually doing the hadlaka makes two brachos, and if you only see it, you make one bracha. And what are these brachos? My mevarach, baruch asher kedushanu mitzvosim itzivanu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, v'heichon tzivanu, where do you have the tzivoy, milasos, reb nachavis, chomashol avicha v'yagecha. Okay, and what is it that you're not going to say? After the first day, mamamayit is man. Same with my nes, nes kol yom yisa. So maybe you should only make the nes, so the shalos nisim of the first day, no nes applies to every day. Okay, so in the context of this discussion, so Tosfos wants to know about the Berachas HaRoeh. The Berachas HaRoeh is something which may surprise you. You don't learn about this in elementary school, even though we talk about everything related to Chanukah. How come no one ever told you about Berachas HaRoeh? And if you saw this and decided you want to get your money back for elementary school, and how come this was not brought up? So the reason it doesn't get taught is because it doesn't really come up for us nowadays. Most of the Rishonim understand that Berachas HaRoeh is only for somebody who is not lighting at all, nor has anyone else in his household lighting for him. Somebody who is completely detached from Ner Chanukah. And all of the Rishonim agree that somebody who has lit already does not make Berachas HaRoeh. What the difference is that other Rishonim, and we follow this view, other Rishonim add that even if you have not yet lit, but you will be lighting, you're also not going to make a Berachas HaRoeh. Sammy?
So just a quick question. What if the someone, let's say, someone who can't light because of a certain din, like let's just say, they'll get a nice to hear. Like, if you're not sure where to light on campus, and so on, would that fit as someone who you're not sure if you could light? So you would say, like, Safek Darabana, and then you maybe wouldn't light, and then you're kind of stuck in a position that you can't light. Does that also fit with this?
So there's a lot of nuances to that question, so we're going to have to deal with them one by one, because there's a lot of different ins and outs. So I'm going to pause on that question. So for now, let's assume still that this doesn't really come up for anyone, this Berachas HaRoeh, but theoretically it exists. And Tosfos takes up the question of, even theoretically, it's surprising, because why don't we find this by other mitzvos? So Tosfos says a few interesting things. Bishar mitzvos, the last Tosfos on the page, Kigon aluva v'sukkah lo takinu levarach l'roah. Elagav ner Chanukah. That you don't find this takana of a Berachas HaRoeh by other mitzvahs, not by lulav or by sukkah, for example. So what's surprising about the question? Does the question seem like it's a very strong question to you? Okay, why not? Okay, but what should it be unique? I mean, it is fair to ask why something would be unique. Ariel? Yeah, that seems to be an objection, right? That is it really comparable to sukkah or to lulav? One would think, okay, sukkah lulav is not about advertising anything. So the fact that there's no bracha specifically for seeing it, that doesn't surprise us. It's very understandable that there might be a distinction between sukkah and Chanukah on this point, that Chanukah is about advertising and sukkah is not about advertising. So now the question is that Tosfos' first answer? And so Tosfos' first answer is, Mishum Chavivos Hanes. That it's because of the Chavivos HaNes. Now, it mentions Nes in that answer, so is that saying, well, yeah, it's because of the Nes. Pershumei Nisa is what makes us have a focus on a witness, and that's the difference between Lulav and Sukkah. Do you think that's what Tosfos is saying as an answer there? Probably not, right? Judd's like, no way, I can't accept this. It sounds like it's saying the Chavivos HaNes, that there's just something qualitatively different about this particular Cheftza Shel Mitzvah here, that this is something we appreciate even more greatly than other things. We have Chavivos for, which is a language you find in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch when they say that we have to give particular attention to making sure that we fulfill the Mitzvah of Chanukah. So it sounds like that's what Tosfos is getting at here also, that there's something just particularly lovable about Ner Chanukah, and maybe that's why there's a bracha, which is a very fascinating idea, just to have this kind of qualitative difference that would theoretically justify a bracha. It would have been much easier to say that it's Pershumei Nisa, which just introduces a new facet to the mitzvah, and that's what does it. So either you say, well, that's what this answer means, which doesn't work so well with the language, or you have to say that the answer is surprising and the question is surprising. So it's a little unsatisfying. Ariel?
Yeah, also we asked from the beginning, from the first step, it's a Dirabana, so how do you bracha at the onset? And I'm saying, not only do you make a bracha with superior, it's kind of strange. It's only Dirabana.
Right, so well, so that doesn't make it worse. So once you accept that you can make a bracha on a Dirabanan, right? Which is also interesting, by the way. I recently saw a discussion about this. I wasn't sure it was so on target. That this Gemara mentioned appears in Masachah Shabbos also. So I saw a whole discussion in the Sefer that was explaining that the whole question is about the justification for the bracha. That's what the discussion of the Gemara is. But I don't know if that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara doesn't necessarily tell you, I mean, they kind of come together, but the Gemara isn't necessarily telling you that the bracha itself is justified because of what's discussed here. It's the language of the bracha which the Gemara seems to be addressing. Okay, you can make a bracha, but how could you say the words Asher Kedushanam Mitzvosa Vitzivanu? How could you say that? It's not true. So the answer is yes, Vitzivanu, because of Losasa. So it's an interesting and maybe subtle question. Is the Gemara trying to tell you what the heck to make any bracha is? Or that doesn't bother us so much. It's just, once you're making a bracha, how is this language factual? So once they say you can make a bracha, okay, so if they were to extend it to the Roeh also, maybe it doesn't surprise us so much. But it is just interesting, this first answer, because it seems like by saying Chavivos HaNes instead of Pershumei Nisa, the answer becomes very wishy-washy a little bit, very vague. And how do you know? Oh, well, if it's, it has to score a 6 out of 10 on the Chavivos scale, how much Chavivos does it have to have in order to justify a bracha? If you're kind of lukewarm about it, then you don't get a bracha, and if you really love it, you do. Where exactly does it rank? It's kind of an unsatisfying answer, and the question was never so clear to us in the first place. If you were to say, the answer is, Pershumei Nisa, okay, maybe I said, okay, that seemed obvious to me, but okay, at least it makes sense afterwards. So some suggest that the reason Tosfos doesn't say that is because maybe it's not really relevant, that maybe Pershumei Nisa is a chiyuv on the one doing it to light in a way that is public, but it doesn't create any obligation on the witness. So, okay, Pershumei Nisa is what the mitzvah is about, but that doesn't do anything to understand why there should be a bracha for the one seeing it. How does Pershumei Nisa turn into a chiyuv to be pursumed too? So essentially, even if you want to tell me Pershumei Nisa is what it's about, It's the bracha on somebody else's mitzvah. So that's how some explain that Persimmonisa is not going to answer the question. So either way, we have to understand, why is there a bracha for the witness? And that, maybe we have to say, is that this nes is chaviv. But again, it's not the kind of answer that makes us tremendously satisfied, mostly because it's hard to latch onto it in anything of a concrete way to really define what the factor is. Now, it's the second answer in Tosfos that's really gotten a lot of attention. And that is, v'gam, mishum sheyesh kam bnei od m'shem lebatim, because there are many people who don't have houses. Vein biodom, and it's not in their hands, the kayim and mitzvah. And they don't have any way to fulfill the mitzvah. So, therefore, we have this instead. Now, that has provoked a tremendous discussion. What is Tosfos saying? What do you think Tosfos might be saying with that statement? And what is it that's aroused such debate? Jebediah, you look like... So is Tosfos saying that it's a chovas habayis? Is Tosfos saying that this tells us there is an obligation on the household? And if you don't have a household, you don't have a mitzvah? So what do you think? Is Tosfos saying that? Is there any other way to read that line? Yes?
That would be the case anyway, because then why would you read the Yerus HaRoeh?
Uh-huh. Well... I don't know, it's an interesting point. I think what if that's what Tosfos means, you'll say the mitzvah is on a household, and the roeh who sees the mitzvah also has a bracha, and that's something we have to explain. But okay, I hear what you're saying. It puts the roeh in a fundamentally different position. Right? He's saying that the maglik, his mitzvah is really for the household, and the roeh, if it's a household mitzvah, where does he fit in at all? Okay. You could also read it, as some have suggested, that Tosfos isn't saying it's a chovas habayis. Tosfos is saying that you need a bias to do it. So maybe, and we'll have to see if this is a good comparison, maybe it's comparable to saying the zechiyuv of tefillin shalyad. But if somebody doesn't have arms, so he can't put on tefillin shalyad. But the mitzvah is a mitzvah on the individual. We still understand that. But there are theoretically people who don't have the context in which to do it. So maybe the mitzvah is on the individual to use his bias to light an Erech Chanukah. And somebody who's completely unprejudiced, by which I mean bias-free, he is not going to have a context in which to light. So therefore, we need to provide for him. So HaRoeh is the home version, is the makeup game. Yes, sir.
It's about to fill him with the arm, so mm-hmm. how would we provide for him the...
So we don't, but maybe in the Hanami it's still comparable. That maybe what Tosfos is saying is not that the chiyuv is not on you, the chiyuv is on you, but we still have mitzvos which require certain circumstances to be in place to fulfill them. So maybe the circumstance you need to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah is to have a house. And if you don't have a house, then it's not shaykh. So what exactly do we mean by all that? That's an interesting question of itself. There is a debate, as we'll discuss now for a few minutes, about whether it is whether Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah habayis or not. But as far as a basis in Rishonim, if we want to hang it on this Tosfos, so we have a little bit of a narrow hook here, because first of all, we just have this one line, which may or may not be saying that. It's a subject to a lot of debate if Tosfos is saying that. And even if it is saying that, it's only one answer in Tosfos. So then maybe it's a machlokus in Tosfos, and even the side that's saying it, it's a machlokus if that side is saying it. So we don't have that much to work with. And then Tosfos goes on to say, we don't even like this answer. V'tam risho nicha. We like the first answer better. Why delo tikshile mezuzah? Because we don't want to have a question from mezuzah. So what would the question be from mezuzah? So mezuzah, we also understand that you need a house in order to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. And if somebody doesn't have a place that's either his as a rental even or as an ownership, so then he doesn't have a context to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. So how come another berachas haroeh for him? And so that seems to create a problem for us. So says Tosfos, we don't want to have to deal with that, so we like the first answer better. So there's a lot that's interesting there. And this is a question which is dealt with more in the Achronim, Rabbi Avraham Shlita, who knows everything. He writes in his Sefer that this was never discussed until the Sfas Emes and the Pnei Yeshua, who raised this question. But we see hints of it in the Rishonim. The Rambam's language is also a little bit more like this. The Gemara has the phrase, you saw, we've been looking through the Gemaras from the beginning of the Sukkot and Shabbos about Hanukkah. So there, the Gemara has the phrase, when it lists the three levels of Hanukkah, the first one is, Mitzvah's Hanukkah, what? Ner Ishu Beiso. So some say, okay, there you have it, Beiso, it's a mitzvah on the household. But once again, there are others who say, no, that's not a good diuk. If it meant to say it's a mitzvah on the household, then let it just say Ner Beiso. Why is it to say Ner Ishu Beiso? That works better if you say that it's a mitzvah on the individual, the Ish, but he needs his household to do it. So Ner Ish Ubeiso, he does it within his household. Now if you look at the Rambam, the beginning of Perek Daled, his language is even more house-related, because his language is mitzvah shehei kol bayis v'bayis. So he does seem to focus it on the household. So let's just try to discuss for a few minutes. This is a pretty huge sugya, but let's just try to get a little bit of a sense of it. What nafkaminas do you think there would be, perhaps, if it was a household obligation as opposed to an individual obligation? How would it affect anything? Any thoughts? Would anything be different?
How many minutes?
Well, that we know, we have the whole level of Ikar Mitzvah and the Mahadran, and the Mahadran and the Mahadran. So it's true that sugya might connect to it being a household obligation, but still, that sugya stands on its own. But what else may be affected? So, yes?
Can you have your family life for you at home?
Okay, so now there, we know that you can, but it's interesting to consider why, and it might be connected to that, right? The idea that somebody in your family can light on your behalf, is that something that happens as a shlichus of some sort, or some type of someone being motzi you? And if they're being motzi you, does that require you to be there to watch it happening? Or should we say that no, it doesn't have any of those mechanics? It's not like Friday night kiddush, maybe, where the head of the household is making kiddush on behalf of everyone, and that's what's happening. So yeah, in that case also, you have one family member making kiddush, and everyone else is done. Is that the mechanics for Ner Hanukkah? So very possibly not. Very possibly, it's simply that any household member of age can fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of the household. And that opens up a couple of interesting points. First of all, I say of age, so to connect this to our chinuch sugya, so it's a little synergy on this point. What if a person is not a full-fledged adult, but he is a katan shehigia lechinuch? Can he light on behalf of the whole household? If the katan shelo higia lechinuch, should definitely not be playing with matches. And if the katan shelo higia lechinuch, then that, you can say, it's not a mitzvah at all. But a katan shehigia lechinuch, even we've been discussing this week, really kind of the middle of this point, right, that a katan shegiya lechinuch, we saw Megillah on Daf Yitas, you can't read Megillah for the Zibur, right? So, can he light Hanukkah for the household? So, Yibadai is like, what are you talking about? But it's not so pashut. So, he was back to like, what are you talking about? But who knows, maybe it's not so pashut. I think that was actually the gesture he was making. So, there is the possibility that, read the Mishnah Berurah the right way, that a katan shegiya lechinuch can light on behalf of the household. And then the question is, well, how is it different than Megillah we just mentioned? So when it comes to Megillah, you can't read for an adult. When it comes to this, maybe he can. So the suggestion would be, the explanation would be, that maybe it's a different kind of mitzvah. It's not the halacha of yatzah Lahotzi, somebody else, like you have by Kiddush or by Megillas Esther or by other things. But the notion is that the household has to have a candle lit. Now, presumably the candle has to be a candle shal mitzvah, so it can't be lit by somebody who's completely mufka from the whole story. But a katan shehigia l'chinuch, maybe that's already enough of a mitzvah status, so therefore that should work. And if you say that it works, that also has interesting implications for what if somebody doesn't want this? Let's say somebody says, okay, my 12-year-old kid's going to light, but I don't want to rely on his lighting because it's kind of b'di'evedik and it's kind of not the perfect way to do it. So I would rather not acknowledge his lighting and wait till later and I'm going to light it my own. So that might not work, some of the Sfarim suggest, because it's not like a Kiddush or a Shofar or wherever where I can say I have Kavana not to be Yotze and I'm going to wait till later. Maybe here, it doesn't matter if you have Kavana not to be Yotze, because it's not about your Kavana. It's about the household, and the household is fulfilled even if you're not thrilled about it, which is an interesting thought. And this is also interesting for how it reflects in terms of Nashim. So when it comes to Nashim, here you have an unusual type of structure. Whether women light any Hanukkah candles is an interesting discussion. There's some sofer about it. Like the Gemara says on the surface that women are chayavos in their Hanukkah, similar to Dalet Kosos and to Mikra Megillah, because of the principle of Afhein Hayuvos Hanes. They were also included in the miracle. Nowadays, it's an interesting question whether women light or not. I think in many of our households, women do light, but husband and wives don't light separately from each other. So there's one menorah for the husband and wife, and unmarried girls in the household, in many of our households, they do light, and some they don't, and there's a chasam sofer about that. It's a different question. But let's work off the premise that at a minimum, the husband and wife are not lighting two separate menorahs, but they're lighting one between them. And either of them can be doing the lighting. So either the husband can light on behalf of his wife, or the wife can light on behalf of the husband. So that is a principle of ishto kigufo, that there is this identity principle between the spouses. But it's interesting that this is really an unusual emphasis. And Rav Shlomo Daichovsky, who is a great Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, has an essay about this in his Sefer, where he suggests that this halacha finds specific manifestation in Chanukah more than in other mitzvos, because it's really about the household mitzvah, and therefore the husband and wife together are one household unit, so that is how they fulfill this mitzvah, and it's different than other mitzvos where you don't necessarily have such an idea. So to draw the Megillah comparison again, when it comes to women in Megillah, so there you find the same language that Nashim Rechayavos and Mikra Megillah because of Afen Hayuvos Ohanes, but the view of the Bahag that Shulchan Aruch adopts is that women cannot read for men. And it's a shayla that women can read for women, that's a machlokas, but they can't read for men, which is also a machlokas, because that's how the Shulchan Aruch passes, and like the Baha'i, the women can't read for men. So do you find this distinction by Chanukah also? It seems not. It seems like, for the most part, you don't have this issue. So what's the difference? So there are a couple of suggestions. The Chasam Tzvi talks about this. Maybe Megillah is more chamer because it's Divrei Kabbalah, it's in Nach as opposed to Chanukah, or maybe because it involves laning in shul, so it's more chamer for that reason. But it could be because of this, because it is a household mitzvah. So it's an interesting idea. Again, there are many, many different avenues one could pursue about this, but we're just trying to get a little bit of a taste of this discussion. Rabbi Gleich and his sefer, this is a B'nesidva Sahalacha, Chiluk Dalit, he has an essay about this. So he ends off by questioning, why should it be? Why is there this idea that the household has such a focus when it comes to an Erech Hanukkah? So he says that the Rambam writes in one of his letters, the Rambam says that it's well known that during the time of the Gzeira, the Jews had to leave their doors open because the Greeks had decreed that they couldn't close their doors, so to speak, they couldn't be misyached with their houses because they were afraid they would do mitzvos behind closed doors. So they had to leave the doors open so it could be seen that they weren't engaging in religious practices. So he says, it's not clear where the Rambam got this from, but the Rambam says that it's very well known, so we'll take the Rambam for his word. This is very well known. So, says Rabbi Baich, it emerges that Hanukkah uniquely had a gezeirah on the household. So if a gezeirah on the household, maybe that's why, correspondingly, there is a mitzvah on the household. That's an interesting idea. Again, there's a lot more to say about this. Happy to pursue whatever avenues anybody would like. But again, so take our meat agenda tomorrow to continue a little bit with Chinuch. And then after that, with the subjects that we spoke about. All right, I wish everyone a wonderful day. And again, thank you so much for your indulgence with my crazy schedule. And we'll see you, God willing, tomorrow.